changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
Motivation is something that everyone aspires to have more of. Several years ago, I hired someone to consult me as a speaker, and I went and did some training with this woman one-on-one. She was in St. Louis. I was, of course, living in Kansas City at the time. And when I went to see her, she told me not to call myself a motivational speaker, but rather to call myself a high content provider, something like that. And so that's what I did. I began to use that on my website. I began to use that on my brochures, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The thing is, people are not seeking high content providers. Later on, I hired another coach, and this person explained to me that people Google the words motivational speaker. Now, every motivational speaker has their own slant, their own take, their own area of expertise. But the thing is, if you need to know what bucket you're in, you're a motivational speaker. And so I began to use motivational speaker, and all of a sudden, my Google ranking improved. People began to find me more. Because when it comes to conventions and associations where I go and keynote, people are looking for a motivational speaker. Why? Because I find that people are always looking for motivation. And it's interesting because they're bringing me in to inspire people or to motivate them, which it does. It also tends to have a shelf life when someone comes in to motivate people. What we need to do is to begin to understand that motivation is driven from within. There are two things really that drive motivation. One is this internal ideal that we have, status, which we're going to talk more about. And the other thing is action. So status and action are what drive motivation. Status, first and foremost. When we say status or status, I never quite know exactly which one it's right. Either, neither. Let's call the whole thing off. Anyway, when I say status, most of us think how we look to other people. Often we think of the car that we drive, it's the way, or the spouse that we have, or the body that we have, or the amount of money that we project to the world. We think of that as status. That is actually secondary status. Secondary status feeds primary status. When we have external status out in the world and show the world that we're rich, famous, healthy, wealthy, whatever, and people reflect back to us envy or wow, isn't that great? Then that elevates the real status that I'm talking about. And that's the status in our own minds. I just thought of an example and then I hesitated to use it, but I'm going to use it. For example, I like the way this earring looks. I like the black one as opposed to gold ones I've worn in the past. I don't wear it when I'm on stage. But I think it looks good, and I think it looks a little idiosyncratic. It's unique. So I like wearing it. It elevates my own status, that choice in doing that, in my mind. The choices that I make, every choice that I make, whether it's to take time to play with Teddy this morning, as I did, or to meditate, all of it is to elevate the status in my own mind. So if there are things, and I know there are for you, that you struggle to get yourself to do, if you are sitting around waiting to feel motivated, you will wait forever. I have said this time and time and time again. If you are waiting to feel like doing something, that's never going to happen. And that brings us to the second element of this. First of all, status. We'll talk more about that. Second of all, action. Once you begin to take any little action in the direction of what it is you want to make happen, then the motivation comes. take an example of a football field, 100-yard American football field. You want to walk that football field. Let's say your stride is 3 feet, right? And so that means you're looking at 100 steps to get to the other end. Those are long steps, but let's say it is 3 feet just to do simple math. You can stand at the line and go, man, I don't feel like walking that 100 yards. I just don't feel like it. I am not sufficiently motivated to walk that 100 yards. However, if you take one step in that direction, then now you see yourself as having already moved in the direction of the 100 yards. And even though it's a very, very small thing, that one, you've still got 99 more steps, but now you see yourself as having taken action and you are motivated to continue. One of the things that I've discovered is, you know, like you, I write out a to-do list, things I need to do, want to do. And there are things sometimes that I'm like, I really don't want to have to tackle this. I don't want to do this, et cetera, et cetera. And then I give myself 10 minutes. I say, okay, you don't have to go and figure this out. For example, moving my company from Missouri to Florida, there's a number of documents, et cetera, that I want to fill out. And I think my ego is always like, oh, what if you make a mistake? They'll take away your birthday. So I find these reasons not to be motivated to go and do the thing. So I tell myself, okay, you do not have to figure all this out, or you do not have to do all of this, or you don't have to do that. All you have to do is go spend 10 minutes rereading the letter you got and look at the letter you sent and see if it makes sense. That's all you need to do. Well, once you start, you keep going. It's a momentum thing. Motivation is so akin to momentum. It's moving forward. And this idea of waiting until we feel motivated, it's never going to happen. Going back to this idea of why we do things, and it's all for status. One of the things I've discovered, as I've shared before, is that I go to the gym to lift weights to put my body under stress because for some reason, and I love it, I get a major endorphin rush as a result of doing it. And I'm now pretty addicted to it. So much so that if I get up in the morning, it's become sort of my normal. And the challenge is if I miss going a few days, then I begin to physically and emotionally not feel as good. More importantly, I begin to not hold myself in as high esteem. That's that idea of status in your own mind. I don't esteem myself. I don't give myself credit for, well, no, you didn't work, but I mean, you didn't work out, but you did this and this. Nope, it's that. So what we need to do is, what are the things that put us in high esteem with ourselves? What are the things that build the status in our own minds? What are the things that make us, if we're sitting there and we go, you know what, today I may have run into this, I may have run into that, and I also was able to do this, was able to do that. And oftentimes those things are ritualistic. They are getting up, they are meditating, they are spending time with the dog, they are, if you're getting frustrated about something, getting up and taking a walk. I'll share with you the story about my flight instructor, Charlie, when I was taking flying lessons. Charlie worked for decades at one of the major plants, and then he retired, like car plants, GM or Ford. They're both in Kansas City or outside Kansas City. Anyway, Charlie's job was maintenance. His job was to keep the assembly line working. And Charlie discovered that he could solve more issues with a cup of coffee than anything else. And I said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, if something went wrong with a machine, everybody panicked. And because, see, their status was challenged. Keep it going. Keep it going. That's the status in my mind. Keep it going. Charlie would walk over with his team. They would begin to try and diagnose the problem. And if they reached utter frustration, Charlie had a rule that everybody had to stop working on it. Now, mind you, this has stopped everyone else from doing what they need to do. But Charlie and his team would walk away and have a cup of coffee, and then they would come back, and almost always they would solve the problem very first try. The challenge is when we get so caught into something, then our status becomes figure this out, fix this now. And it's difficult to walk away when you've got dozens of people all being paid and say, you know what, I'm going to go have a cup of coffee and not even think about this. That's the key. He didn't even think about this. We're all looking for motivation. And one of the great awarenesses that we can have, the great realizations is there's no motivation bunny that's going to show up and knock on your door. No one is going to knock on your door and say, do this, do this, do this, do this. First of all, we need to begin to take action, to take action. And we need to tie in our minds the completion or having taken the action with feeling better about ourselves, with raising our esteem, with celebrating the fact that we did what we did. For me, still, the hardest part is going to the gym. It's not working out at the gym. That is not the hard part. That's actually kind of mindless and fun and moves on pretty quick because I'm always listening to an audiobook or a podcast. So what is it that you want to be motivated to do? What is one thing you want to do in your life? Ask yourself, what is that one thing that you really want to move forward in your life? You want to inch it forward so that hopefully it begins to gain momentum and runs of its own accord. What is that thing for you? And then take a little step, some little tiny step in that direction. Some little tiny step. I remember one time I needed to take a form. It seems to come down to this, but I had gotten some form from some government officials from, you know, it could have been the post office. I don't remember what it was, but I needed to go down with this form and talk to somebody about something. And I dreaded doing it because in my mind, I thought it would take a long time. And in my mind, I thought the person would be not helpful, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And finally, I said, okay, I just have to put the letter closer to the door. And then I put the letter underneath my keys. And that's where it sat for a couple of days. Finally, I put the letter on the floor beneath the door. And I said, I'm going to go and do this no matter what. And I decided also to put a smile on my face. And it went so simple and so easy. So often, motivation is detracted by fear. In our minds, oh, we know how this is going to turn out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It just takes a little bit of action. I see here Linda says, get motivated to get my bedroom cleaned all the way. Well, the key is, first of all, see it done in your mind and the status you're going to feel. How good you're going to feel about yourself for having gotten it done. And the other thing is, that's life. I need to go make my bed too. All right, everybody. Thank you for being with me today. And if you are with me today live, thank you for clicking share.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high. Complaint-free world, no more.